In the last few months, he's been working with SB Friedman Development Advisors to help city staff answer questions about the latest options. And Jeff Gabelhausen is back in the GLT studios as well. Jeff, thanks for coming back.
Mike, it's my pleasure.
What are your questions for developer Jeff Gabelhausen? You can call 309-438-8910. Are you pleased that the primary buildings on the front and center block are being saved? Or do you think the front and center building should go? And what about the city of Bloomington's involvement? How should the city get involved financially with a public-private partnership to redevelop the front and center block? You can get into this conversation by calling 309-438-8910. Jeff, let's delve into a little history. The three options presented in October are different than the proposal presented in May of 2015. Those three options have been narrowed down to one. Before we talk about that, let's talk about how what you presented first in May of 2015.
Well, when we first began the process of working on an idea of a downtown hotel in Bloomington, we actually wanted to present a hotel. We then started getting feedback from city officials saying, you know, rather than you bring us a hotel, we'd rather just have the opportunity to have land and then develop our own hotel. So that's what we presented the city back in May. The idea that we would have a site-ready development for them. The city could then go out for their own RFPs, select their own hotelier, and go about the process that way. The feedback from the council then in June was, we don't want to go into that business. We don't know how to do that. We'd rather you bring us back a specific proposal. So Mr. Hale sent me a letter, said, bring us back a specific proposal. That led us to October, where I outlined really four different scenarios for the city, with one being no involvement with the city whatsoever. We'll go about doing our own thing with the land and buildings as time allows and as interest allows. It won't be much of a development, but it'd be something. And it may involve the building staying, it may not involve the building staying, all the way up through a full-service hotel and conference center being the more exciting option.
And in October of 2015, you were back before the Bloomington City Council with three options. Only one of those options saved the front and center building. How did you settle on that option? And I ask because part of the conversation we had when we spoke in May was about whether the buildings should be renovated or raised. And here's what you said back in May.
The council has certainly expressed some strong interest in keeping the Commerce Bank Tower. And as Greg Coos said, the historically significant elements of the Commerce Bank building. That being said, we've given that option to the city, and we they can make that decision. I mean, literally, how far to take the demolition and the gutting of the Commerce Bank building. The front and center building, we've maintained, I think folks that have looked at the building have maintained, any re-tenancy of that building is going to be with low rent payers. It's probably going to be a revolving door of low rent payers. And it's really not going to give the opportunity for something transformative for downtown.
That's from our May 28th conversation on this show. Obviously, the project has changed now. We're talking about turning that building into a hotel. What is transformative to you? Can the hotel and conference center be transformative? And can the front and center building still serve that purpose?
Well, absolutely. What we're talking about that's substantially different than last year is we're talking about physically connecting the Commerce Bank building and the front and center building through a new construction wing on the west elevation. That physical connection allows us to get to approximately 129 hotel rooms, which is clearly transformative. That alone, there isn't enough room on that block, though, to be able to accommodate a conference center. So then that allows us to jump across Madison Street via a sky bridge to a new conference center to be constructed on basically where the Elks building is sitting now.
309-438-8910 is the number to call to ask your question. I'm Mike McCurdy in the studio with developer Jeff Gabelhausen, who is meeting with the Bloomington City Council tomorrow. Let's go to Stephanie, who is on the line. Stephanie has a question about whether or not this project can be a business magnet. Stephanie, you're on the air with Jeff Gabelhausen.
Hi, hello. So I live downtown, and it's all very exciting. And anecdotally, I feel like I might know the answer to this because I have friends and family who always want places to stay downtown, and I feel like there's never enough venues for weddings and such. But do you have any hard data on whether this will increase business for the county as a whole, or is this just going to draw business away from other places?
So I guess the question, Stephanie, you're getting at is whether or not this is going to increase the size of the pie or reslice the pie among the other hotels.
Yes.
Jeff?
Clearly, one of the items that we point to is the HVS study that the city retained. Our hoteliers conduct their own analyses. They have their own proprietary ways of looking at how business is generated. This is not about reshuffling the deck. This is about growing the amount of business that happens in McLean County and specifically in downtown Bloomington. Yeah, I mean, you know, restaurants, they reshuffle the deck a little bit, but we want downtown to become a dining destination. We want Bloomington to become a dining destination. We want to attract conferences that will stay in Bloomington, that will come to Bloomington, that otherwise aren't looking at the Bloomington market. Maybe they're going to Peoria, maybe they're going to look at the new facility in Champaign, maybe they're in Chicago, maybe they're in St. Louis or Indianapolis or wherever. So it's clearly about growing the business.
And Stephanie, the people that you have wanting to look for a place to stay, are they looking to dine in downtown? Are they looking for entertainment? Are they wanting to catch a show at the Coliseum?
Yep, looking for places that are close to the Coliseum so that they don't have to take a cab or find other means to getting to a hotel kind of on the outskirts of town or closer to the interstate. So I think they, in my mind, would want to stay closer.
Okay, Stephanie, thanks for your call. You can join Stephanie with your phone call at 309-438-8910. She brings up a good point. How will this development interact with the Coliseum?
Clearly, the owner of the Coliseum should be ecstatic about the idea of a hotel. If the Coliseum was privately owned, the owners of the Coliseum would be doing everything within their human power to make a hotel happen. It will incredibly benefit the Coliseum. Nobody wants to talk about the Coliseum because it's got a negative connotation in Bloomington. The reality of it is the city owns it. The city needs to make it as successful as it can be. And one of the primary ways of making it successful is to make it more attractive to people to come there for their events.
You've given a thumbnail sketch of the type of hotel we're looking at. It's being described as a full-service hotel. What is the difference between full-service and select-service? And does the community need another full-service hotel?
There's not much difference between a full service and select service. Basically, whether it's full service or select service, what we're talking about is a hotel that offers food and beverage service, a hotel that offers business center, a hotel that offers health club amenities. Room service, absolutely. So full service, select service, they're one and the same.
And who's going to stay at this hotel at the room rates that have been discussed at $130 to $150 per night?
Who's going to stay there? Hopefully people are coming to the Coliseum. Clearly people that have business to transact in downtown, and there's a lot of them. A lot of people use the Law and Justice Center, a lot of attorneys coming into town. Clearly the conferences that we look to hold. I mean, we're looking very substantially to have that conference center used many days a week. The first choice of those conference users are going to be the adjoining hotel. But Mike, as we discussed off the air, the reality of it is a lot of those conferences we attract are going to be 600, 800, 1,200, 1,400 people. That's more people than this hotel can handle. So the fact is that first, we want them to fill our hotel, but after that, they're going to be out on veterans. They're going to be out on market, you know, grabbing those hotel rooms because we're not going to be able to handle them in the downtown area.
309-438-8910 is the number to call to join this conversation. You mentioned the Law and Justice Center. Are government business rates different than regular rates? Would people doing business with the Law and Justice Center likely be paying a lower rate? And has that been factored into this?
The hotel will clearly make the decision on a daily basis what rates they're offering. If there's a large conference occurring, then that's probably going to be more of a premium rate than if there's a day when there's not a lot happening. But that's a hotelier-specific question.
And let's talk about the conference space. How much space are we talking about, and is that enough square footage to attract the kind of business needed to keep the hotel booked and to service the debt? You talked about conferences that are going to attract 800 people. Sounds like yes.
Yeah, you know, we're talking about a 12,000 square foot conference center. The HVS study actually had called for 20,000 square feet. And we had said at that time we thought that was pretty aggressive. We thought the 20,000 was high. The reality at 12,000 square feet, we're going to be in the sweet spot of conferences. It's more than enough to fill our hotel rooms and overflow into other hotels. But at the same time, it's not so large that we've got a lot of idle space sitting empty day after day.
And what sign might we see on the building? Hilton?
I'm not going to comment on a specific flag.
Have you had serious conversations with the hotelier yet, though?
Absolutely. We've had serious hoteliers in town. They've met with many city officials. We've had them. The financials that were provided to SB Friedman were produced by the hotelier. So, you know, we have strong interest in bringing a hotelier to town, it's very real. The flag is very clear to us what the flag is going to most likely be. But we need to understand whether the city wants to create a public-private partnership to make it possible.
309-438-8910. Let's go to the phones again. Michael is on the line. He has a question about what has been published at this point, which is a $13 million investment by the city. Michael, what's your question for Jeff Gabelhausen?
Yeah, that's basically it. I'm curious how you arrived at that $13 million figure for investment in the city.
Jeff?
Sure. Yeah, Michael, thanks for the question. Basically, this is about a $51 to $53 million project. We take a capital stack, you know, the sources and uses of where that money is going to come from. And when we take out what we think we can get in historic tax credits for the historic renovations of the building, when we take out what the building can support in debt and equity, there is a gap that's left. That gap relates back to the internal rate of return that we're seeking to get to make the project a competitive investment, so the hotelier will want to make their investment in downtown Bloomington. So it's a backed into number. When S.B. Friedman did their analysis, they've got a range of between $8 and $11 million compared to our $13 million. The reason for that difference in range has to do with some very important differences in some assumptions that we need to work through over the next several weeks. They ran their ADR, average daily rate, at $150, while we ran ours at $129. That affects how much money the hotel is going to make, obviously, which makes a difference into what that gap's going to be.
ADR is average daily room rate?
Yes, yes. Property taxes. You know, we factored in a much higher expected property tax in the future than what the S.B. Friedman report came out to. So we need to work with the assessor. We need to find out what is more likely to be the property tax number. If it's lower, that's wonderful. Then we need less. If it's higher, then that decreases our annual operating cash flow, which means the need's a little bit higher. But it's a mathematical formula.
And some of this will come in the form of rebates and possibly a parking garage, things like that. Michael, what do you think about public investment in projects like this?
You know, I think it's a mixed bag, right? It depends on the specifics of the project. But in a case like this where you're talking about stimulating a project that wouldn't necessarily otherwise happen, and you're not talking about really any new tax dollars, you're not talking about spending money that the city is already taking in, you're talking about generating economic activity and using the fruits of that to pay for it. I think that makes sense.
Michael, if I could, I appreciate your comment, and I do want to echo, there is absolutely zero proposal on the table for any existing city revenues to go into this project. Any city revenue that is shared is only new revenue generated by the project.
And does that make a difference to you, Michael?
Yeah, absolutely. I would not be necessarily quite as comfortable if it were dollars that are already coming into the city.
Okay, Michael, thanks for your call. You can join Michael with your question at 309-438-8910 in the studio's East Peoria developer, Jeff Gabelhausen. In November on Sound Ideas, I spoke with former Pittsburgh Mayor Tom Murphy, now with the Urban Land Institute. He led public-private partnerships that leveraged $4.5 billion in economic development efforts. And here's what he had to say about downtown hotels.
They're important, but let me just say there's a context, is that what cities often do is they get trapped in doing a transaction rather than being strategic about what they're doing. So what I see here in Normal is that Normal was strategic about the development of the two hotels. And so they're situated in a way, there's great parking, it's not surface parking, there's a parking garage, there's good shopping and some restaurants right nearby. So you can see the strategy that permitted those hotels not to just be standalone kind of places, but to be part of a larger sense of vitality. And that's what you're trying to get to when you do this.
So plopping a hotel in downtown Bloomington's not going to solve the problems.
It doesn't by itself, but it needs to be seen as a part of a larger strategy. I can't comment on the Bloomington one. I'm not aware of it. I see too many cities that build a hotel on a whole block in downtown, and the building might take a quarter of the block and the other three quarters of the block are surface parking. You know, that's not a strategy.
Former Pittsburgh Mayor Tom Murphy on the November 5th edition of Sound Ideas. Jeff, what's your reaction to what Murphy says? And let's talk a little bit about the larger strategy for you as a developer in bringing a hotel to downtown Bloomington. We kind of touched on that a little bit with the Coliseum.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, the first rendering that we did, the first proposed hotel site, was actually on the city block, the Butler block, which is right there across from the Coliseum next to the Elks building. So that was actually our first hotel site.
That's currently a parking lot now.
That's currently a parking lot. We brought a hotelier to town, very successful hotelier, walked the downtown area with us, looked at that site and said, absolutely not. Can't work.
And why is that?
Because it was disengaged from the rest of downtown. Exactly what Mr. Murphy is talking about is what this hotelier told us. Hotelier looked at the front and center commerce block and said, that's where it's got to go. That's engaged with other retail. That's engaged with other restaurants.
And engaged with the McLean County Museum of History.
And the whole Route 66 and McLean County Museum history. So Mr. Murphy's comments have been echoed by the hoteliers. That's why when somebody says, well, why don't you go, you know, XYZ location? It's about the synergy. It's about what else we can bring about.
I don't think anyone ever said redevelopment projects move quickly. Is the amount of time and effort you're putting into this typical?
If I had known 2.5 years ago that it would be this long, I wouldn't have undertaken it.
So why are you still sticking with it?
It's a passion right now. I think I've said many times, my youngest son is a freshman at Illinois Wesleyan, so I'm vested in Bloomington on a very personal level at this point. I believe in this project. I do believe in downtown Bloomington. I believe that the negatives are, quite frankly, just a very vocal group. And, you know, that's going to be the case. But I want to address their questions absolutely accurately, one at a time. And when the facts speak, I think it's clear that this is a good project for the city.
It's Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy in the studio with developer Jeff Gabelhausen. He talks with the Bloomington City Council on Monday night. What do you think of a downtown hotel? Share your opinion or ask a question at 309-438-8910. As I mentioned, you've been working with SB Friedman Development Advisors to help vet the options or the single option now for city staff. Have you been through this sort of thing before with a firm like SB Friedman?
Yes, we've worked with various consulting groups on projects many times.
And what's that process like?
You know, SB Friedman, I will say this. I think they're one of the best that I've seen. The city had another group that was involved last year that I wasn't very high on, that I didn't think they asked the right questions. I didn't think they followed up with the right questions. SB Friedman, you know, they know their business. They know it extremely well. They've been very open to us. They've been responsive when we've asked them questions. They've not been shy about reaching back out to us and saying, wait a second, have you what about this type of idea? This might make your project better. And we've incorporated many of those ideas. So I think they're spot on.
So give me an example of some of the questions they've asked or some of the ideas they've come back to you with.
Specifically, where the front entrance of the hotel might want to be. You know, we had shown the front entrance being on the Center Street elevation of the front and center building. Mm-hmm. And as we looked at that more and more, we actually ultimately took some of their advice and we turned the new main entrance of the hotel into facing the corner of Madison and Washington. And the reason for that is to allow for off-street drop-off, so people don't have to, you know, drop off on a busy street. It allows for a much more convenient access back to the parking garage, and it allows for more of a presence of the building as you're coming south on 51.
And that was one of their ideas?
That was one of theirs combined with a couple of our architects.
And what about a tough question that they maybe threw at you?
You know, I think one of the toughest questions right now that we're dealing with is the ADR. Because they have good backup in the HVS study. HVS talked about $150 room rate. Our hotel, you're saying $129, but we would love to be at $150. It's a question of underwriting a more conservative deal. I mean, we feel more comfortable, and our hotelier feels more comfortable saying we are going into an unproven market in downtown Bloomington. We can't afford to be too overly aggressive with our hotel with our revenue assumptions.
You're getting a thumbs up from Friedman, but it's preliminary. You still have some holes to fill in terms of restaurants and retail and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Can I talk about the restaurants real
please.
Briefly?
Yeah,
okay. People have sometimes commented in some of the public forums I've read, you know, this is why does Bloomington need four more bars? We're gonna have four more college bars. That's not what we're talking about here at all. We're talking about four different food and beverage venues. one of those venues would be operated as part of the hotel. That's your room service venue. That's where you come down for your morning breakfast. That's your very
banquet for a conference.
Yeah, yeah, that's your very traditional restaurant type venue. We see in the Commerce Bank lobby, the first floor of the Commerce Bank building, our upscale dining venue. And this would be leased space. And we're talking to a couple of prospective operators right now. We see this, whether it be a steakhouse or something like that, but we see that being the fine dining component of the project. We jump over to the street level of the front and center building, kind of the corner facing the Law and Justice Center. Mm-hmm. We really, we've got a tremendous model for a seafood bar. You know, I guess if you want to call it an oyster bar, we've seen some great opportunities like that. We're currently talking to three different operators that have an interest in leasing that space. That would be a more upscale bar as opposed to fine dining. And then the fourth food and beverage venue facing the Coliseum wants to be a sports bar. I mean, let's face it. I mean, you know, the Coliseum, it has a big component of concerts, big component of athletics. We need something casual. We need something fun. We need something interactive. And we see that being there. And there's no shortage of prospects for that space.
And is there is it too soon to talk about who these restaurants or what kinds? We've talked about what kinds. Particular operators. Are we talking about a Johnny's Italian Steakhouse? Are we talking about something along those lines?
I think
for the fine dining.
Yeah, I mean, Johnny's is a wonderful restaurant. Been involved with them since their inception. That's a great example. We clearly are not going to be talking specific names, but let's make it understand this. We're not asking the city for a final vote on anything right now. City's not putting their money on the line. They're not putting anything on the line other than conceptually saying we can get to a deal. Before the city goes to a deal, the hotelier will be known. They'll be fully vetted out. The, you know, financing package will all be vetted out, and multiple restaurants will already be signed on the line.
Let's talk financing for a moment. We heard from Tom Murphy earlier. He's the former mayor of Pittsburgh, and he's with the Urban Land Institute. He and I also talked about public-private partnerships, and he says it's a silly argument that if the project is good enough, private developers shouldn't need public dollars. It's important for these hoteliers and developers who have limited funds to work with a community that is willing to also invest in the project. You've already talked about a parking garage, but again, we're not talking about necessarily new money coming into that project. We're talking about the money that will result from that project helping to pay for those kinds of things.
Absolutely. We talk about extraordinary project costs. You know, if we wanted to build a regular hotel in downtown, we could probably do it with very little, if any, city financial revenue sharing. That being said, we've got to have enough land for a surface parking lot. We've got to have enough land. You know, we're not going to do a conference center for sure. We may or may not be able to do a restaurant cluster. I mean, you know, and it certainly wouldn't be the level of restaurant or hotel that we're seeking. Extraordinary project costs. First and foremost, structured parking. 99 times out of 100, the city's putting up the parking deck. Here, we're proposing putting up the parking deck. So there's revenue sharing to help offset the parking deck. City wants to put up the parking deck? Fine. Then that revenue sharing can be greatly reduced. There's higher costs and much greater unknowns associated with historic renovations and alternative uses of existing buildings. We're going to run into things that we absolutely don't know about right now. That's why we're not prepared to go in, and our hotelier's not prepared to go in estimating our revenues at the highest possible number, estimating our costs at the lowest possible number, and all of a sudden we run into some unknowns and we got a, oh heck, moment. That's not the way to get this thing done on the right manner.
In fact, you and I have talked, it would be actually less expensive to tear some of those buildings down and start over.
Absolutely, it would be less money and less risk. And then the third extraordinary cost is the conference center itself. Quite often conference centers are publicly owned. I mean, you know, so, and we're proposing here that the conference center be privately owned, privately operated. So our extraordinary costs, structured parking, we're reusing historic buildings, and we're doing a conference center. And one thing I would say about the historic buildings, we've been engaged with some of the best historic renovation people around. I mean, we've brought on a tremendous consultant who's helping us in this process. We're getting great advice from some of the real local experts. So I think everybody's going to be very pleased with what happens with these buildings.
I think the council is cautious and they want to feel comfortable moving forward. How do you make the council feel comfortable with this risk, or is it a risk?
I don't think it is a risk. First off, whatever revenue sharing occurs, again, is revenue from the project. There's a post on a local blog site that said, "Why doesn't the city take the $13 million and put it into roads?" Because there is no $13 million. The $13 million is coming from the project. So
right,
it's
that's
not
the,
like
that's the revenue that this project is expected to reap.
Not only is the revenue sharing coming from the project, but the city is keeping some of that revenue. That revenue the city keeps can go into the roads. It can go into other city services. So it is about generating net new revenue to the city. But it's ridiculous to think that we can magically make these dollars appear if there's no project. The other thing with regard to city risk, no city final commitment is done until our hotelier's been announced, their financing's been, you know, publicly confirmed by the council and staff. I mean, this, the city needs to move the process, and they need to tell us what they're willing to do so we can confirm with the hotelier whether or not they're willing to do the deal under those parameters.
Sure. What is your timeline? How long can the city deliberate?
We've said we've got to get this done here in the next few months. We're in a rising interest rate environment. We're seeing more competition come into the market potentially. If this is going to happen, let's get on with it. Let's get it done.
So you're looking at, you want an answer in 2 months, 3 months?
I think SB Friedman's laying out a timeline, so I'm going to leave that up to them.
Okay. And have they mentioned that timeline publicly?
I don't know. I thought they were going to do that tomorrow. I've not seen it, so I don't want to say something okay. different than what they've said.
What will council hear from you tomorrow night?
What they're going to hear from us tomorrow night is how excited we are about Bloomington, how we believe in Bloomington, if they have the same level of belief in the future of Bloomington, then they should be our partners on this project. And as a partner, we can do something spectacular to set the momentum for many other projects to follow.
And what kind of questions do you think you may get tomorrow night? What are you anticipating?
I think some of the questions will be, why haven't you named your hotelier? Why won't you name the flag? We're not going to name our hotelier because if I tell you who that our main hotelier is right now, and we have more than one, but if I tell you who it is, any other developer with their salt in any other city is going to pick up the phone and call them because they're going to know they're in play to do a deal. So that's just competitive knowledge I'm not willing to share. That being said, many of these council members have met the individuals. They know who they are, so it's not exactly a secret.
Jeff? Thanks for your time on Sound Ideas today.
Mike, thank you very much.
And I guess I want to give you the opportunity also. There is a website that is pushing this project. Would you like to talk about that just for a moment?
Yes. In working with some local citizens, we've developed a website called WeBelieveInBloomington.com. WeBelieveInBloomington.com. It not only has some information about the project, it has the SB Friedman study. We've linked it from the city. It's got questions and answers. As we get asked questions, we try and respond to them in that format. And we'll continue to update it. So it's really meant to be a source that people can go for accurate information on the site and even ask their own questions. And we'll be glad to try and respond to them.
Okay, Jeff, again, thanks for your time on Sound Ideas today. I hope you'll come back as this process moves forward.
Thank you, Mike.
Jeff Gabelhausen is an East Peoria developer. He was the developer behind the shops at College Hills in Normal. And he's back before the Bloomington City Council tomorrow night with a refined proposal for downtown Bloomington Hotel and Conference Center. You're listening to Sound Ideas.